seeking the Lord's help, and who needed grace, I'll ask you to turn with me to the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8 and at verse 9. Second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8 and at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. A wonderful thing, my friends, if it could be said of each one of us here present, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear it spoken, we read about it, the ministers preach it, but you know, it's to have the witness within, to have that living experimental knowledge within one's own soul of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace which flows forth and has done and will do till the last elect vessel of mercy is gathered away from this world, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, he speaks, doesn't he, of that grace in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. There was a time, wasn't it? Well, there was a time for Paul, who was previous to that Saul of Tarsus. There was a time for him to be born into this world. There's a time. Yes, there was a time when you were born into this world, born into a family, parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. And with the Lord's people, there's a time, isn't there, when they are called by grace. I know the Apostle Paul could name the day in his journey along that Damascus road. But with many of the Lord's people, they cannot name a day, a time or day, can they? But you know, there's a change wrought. This is it. A change is wrought in the heart. Grace makes a change. Change the heart, renew the will, and turns the feet to Zion's hill. Before, it was... and of course this is according to our old nature, what the world has to offer, and the heart is taken up with the things of the world, time things, and there's the spirit of the world, the spirit of men be taken up with time things, the things of this world, the so-called pleasures. And their authorities, well, how much of it can we have? And they want more and more. But the time comes when, yes, the hymn writer speaks of it, grace makes an empty void in the heart, which the world can never fill. Grace makes an empty void, so that the world is an empty place. The world is a barren place, it's a wilderness. You know, you read in the 107th Psalm that the Lord gathers his people from the east and the west and the north and the south. Yes, the redeemed, it speaks of it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They gathered out of the world, gathered unto himself, and they wander in the world, wandering in the wilderness, wandering in that empty place, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Mark what it says. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then what happened? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Ah, ye know the grace. Yes, where do we begin? Isn't it like this? Grace to pray. Grace that is found in your heart, which will draw you to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat, to the feet of Jesus. Ye know the grace. Oh, to know this. Are you a stranger to the throne of grace? Is the pathway to the throne of grace covered in weeds? Or is it a well-worn track? You may say, oh, I'm a frequent visitor to the throne of grace because I have a need. I feel that need, and I cannot stay away. You know, there were those who walked so far with Jesus. They went so far, didn't they? And there was a time when they were offended, and they walked no more with him. The Lord Jesus turned to those other disciples and he said, will ye also go away? To whom shall we go, Lord? Said Peter, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Ah, how sweet that is. Now, you see, it's life, life, eternal life. Before we were walking in darkness, before we were walking with the world and going down into the away from God, but now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Tell me, said the spouse in the Song of Solomon, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock. Tell me, and I want to be there, I want to come there, where the sheep are, where the lambs are, where the Lord's people are, because he is the great shepherd of the sheep and watches over them and cares for them and leads them into green pastures and beside the still waters. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Is there a hungering and a thirsting within your heart? I say, is there that aching void within which the world can never fill? It's here, isn't it? It's here in this sacred volume. Ah, you know, one of old said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. Thy words, the written word. Thy word, the incarnate word. The words written. Christ is there in all the scriptures. The word. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the Apostle Paul could use that term. He could say, our Lord Jesus Christ. Great claim, isn't it, for one to make? Ours, mine, The Lord is my shepherd. This is my God. This is my Lord. This is my Saviour. This is my friend. This is my Redeemer. Do you know these things? Do you know them in your own heart? Has the Lord shown to you yourself, your great need, and revealed to you that in Him is that which will meet your need? My every need He richly will supply, nor will His mercy ever let me die. In Him there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Are you found among those that seek the Lord and seeking Him while He may be found, calling upon Him while He is near? Ye know the grace. That grace which comes, yes, illuminating grace. Before it was dark. Before you couldn't see nature's darkness. Oh yes, you had eyes. You could see around you. You could see those things about you, but like the blind man that we read of, the man who was born blind in the gospel. And the Lord opened his eyes. There were those who came asking him questions. How were thine eyes opened? Who did it? Is this the one that was blind? Is this the one we knew that was blind? Yes, said he. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. His eyes were opened and he saw Jesus. Think of those in the gospel who were drawn to him or brought to him, and they came, didn't they, and cast themselves down at his feet. It was mercy they sought. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That mercy that flows forth from the throne of grace, the mercy seat. It's grace, isn't it? We cannot say we deserve it. We cannot earn it, we cannot merit it, we cannot buy it. It's grace. Beautiful term, you know. Beautiful term, isn't it? Free grace. Free and sovereign grace. You know the grace. Oh, do you know this? This illuminating grace. Grace that shines within. That grace which shines from the Lord Jesus himself and reveals to us what we are and shows us what he is. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So you see, one is brought up out of that dark place into the light and into the liberty of the gospel, and there's a going forward, isn't it? A going forward. And that grace which will work in the heart and will enable one to venture unto the throne of grace and there to tell him all the truth, all about oneself. Confess there. Oh, isn't it the grace of the Lord Jesus that brings a poor sinner to that place of repentance? Well, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, he said this, it's the goodness of God, isn't it, that bringeth a sinner to that place. His goodness. His goodness toward a poor sinner, raising him up and bringing him to his footstool as a repenting sinner. There to tell him all the truth, all about oneself. Will he receive me? Now you think of Esther of old. The Jews were in great trouble in Esther's day, weren't they? And she was one of them. And she must go before the king. If I stay away, I know I shall forever die. And if I go, you see, she went uninvited. But she must go. But you and I, we come to the King of Kings. And oh, what a mercy when the king reached forth a golden scepter and received Esther. What is thy request? What is thy petition? Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Saving grace. Oh, how sweet that is. Without money, without price. Poor sinner can draw near unto the footstool of mercy and seek that mercy. The plead, the blood of Jesus. I believe it was Phil Pott who spoke like this concerning redemption, there's the price of redemption and the power of it, and how they go together, the price and the power. Now you think of the children of Israel in the old dispensation, how that they groaned in Egypt, how they cried in Egypt, how they labored there in Egypt. And their cry went up to their God in heaven. I've heard their cry, said he. And the time came when they must bring a sacrifice, or kill that sacrifice, kill the lamb, and pour out the blood into a basin. And the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And the sweet promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the destroying angel passed over the land, and those who were sheltering beneath the blood were saved, weren't they? The price paid, a lamb. And the power, when those people were brought forth from the land of bondage, the Lord went before them, led them out, brought them, set them at liberty. And the gospel day, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, laid down his life, made himself a sacrifice. And in the laying down of his life and his sufferings and his death, he opened a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. The price paid. The power, why it's here, isn't it, in this text? The price and the power. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was rich. He the Creator. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold. all things are his. What you have and what I have, my friends, in this life is lent to us. Is lent. And one day we shall have to part with everything. But you know, the Lord has promised, the Lord has promised to provide for his people those things that they, you know, we live in a day when there's so much discontentment. I remember some years ago in conversation with a woman, and she lived not far from here at one time. And I believe she came to this chapel once. But I said to her once, we were in conversation, and you know, yes, when the words come, you know, we've got to tell them. We've got to speak, haven't we? Not to preach a sermon, but perhaps a word in season. And I said to her one day, I said, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. What a beautiful quotation, she said. Where is that found? Who wrote that? It just opened up a little conversation, and I told her, godliness with contentment is great gain. Again, be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, yes, what is the verse? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The emphasis in the present day is this, isn't it? How much can one obtain? And one may be a millionaire and have millions, you know. And they can all go in a moment. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little of the right, what? A little grace? Can we have a little grace? If you have grace and I have grace, if you have Christ, then you have all things. Not a little, is it? It's an abundance. Why, if you have Christ, you have safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven. If you have him, then he will see to it that your need is supplied. My God, said the apostle, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. Not some, but all. You look back over the, perhaps you look back over the past year or the years. And you remember those times when you were in great need. Great need. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They did. In that 107th Psalm, you know, you read of those different experiences of the people of God. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And it goes on, doesn't it? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Yes, you think of the poverty to which he came, my friends. The extreme poverty to which he came. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you have a home. You have a comfortable bed. You have provisions. You have enough for today. You've had enough for each day up to the present time. The Lord will see to it that you have sufficient for the morrow and the day after. I thought, you know, dear Elijah, in his day, a day of famine, and there was a very ungodly king, a monarch on the throne with an ungodly wife. The Lord sealed up the heavens and there was no rain for over 3 years. Oh, what disaster. But the Lord had his servant Elijah, and he was to go and dwell by the brook Cherith, and he had the promise, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. More likely to rob than to feed were the ravens which live upon prey. But when the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. His goodness. And Elijah dwelt by the brook. You know the account, and the brook dried. And he was sent to a place called Zarephath, and there was a widow woman there. She had a little provision. And he, you know, was directed to her. There were many widows, said the Lord Jesus, many widows in Israel in that day. But there was one whom Elijah was sent, and she had a little provision, enough for herself and her son for one meal. That's what she said. That was her thought. We'll have this meal and then we shall die. You know, when Elijah came to her, he said, make me a little cake. And as she was going, he called to her. He said, fetch me some water. And she did. Ah, the Lord blessed her. And the Lord provided for her and her son. And Elijah, you know, I'd have loved to have heard Elijah returning thanks. We say grace, don't we? Is it just a formality when you come to the table and say grace? Just a formality, you say it every mealtime. But are there those times, my friends, when you come to the table and your heart is softened? You see the provision there? The Lord has provided for you. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And he had nowhere to call his home, did he? He had no home here. There were those who ministered to him, and they were favoured, they were blessed. You think of that little home in Bethany, Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. And he was a visitor to that home. How, you know, they ministered to him. A favoured family, weren't they? Very favoured. Jesus loved them. We read Jesus loved Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. He loved them. And he loves his people. Loves them with an everlasting love. And he will not leave them to want for any good thing. Having food and raiment, let us be content with such things as we have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, the thought comes, that grace, grace which enables one to endure, to continue. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he, before entering into that pathway of suffering and death, to his disciples, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom." Ye are they. And they, you know, they walked with him, didn't they? They followed him in his footsteps. And they continued, they endured. He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Have sometimes we feel, shall we continue? Shall we be able to endure? Shall we endure this? Something comes into our pathway, into our life. Something we look not for, unexpected. How can we continue? Is everything gone against us? Jacob felt it, didn't he? And he had much trouble. And you know, he said, didn't he, to his son Simeon, "Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and now Benjamin," he said, "you bring down my grey hairs to the grave in sorrow. All these things are against me." But you know, they weren't against him. No, and when we're left like that, you know, we prove this, that it's not against us. He's not against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? But you know, the Lord chastens his people. The Lord corrects them. As a father corrects his family, so the Lord corrects his people, and no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Enduring grace. Oh, to continue. Do you pray like this? "Lord, help me to endure. Help me to endure unto the end. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my foot slip not. Keep me, Lord, in the way." And another thought, you know, comes to the mind, and it's this, we read it, didn't we, in that chapter, in the second chapter of the Philippians, where, you know, the apostle speaking of Christ, and he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, but made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself. And he walked in that way, didn't he? In that way in which the Lord, his Father, would have him walk. "I delight to do thy will, O my God." And to humble ourselves. To see that humble place, to walk with Christ. He humbled himself. And his people must be humbled. And how? By grace. We read, "He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Well, if they're humble, they've already got grace, haven't they? But you know, we need grace. We need that grace to flow forth unto us. We cannot store up grace, can we? If the Lord gave us grace yesterday and has been pleased to give us grace today, we shall need it again tomorrow. And each day you pray for grace. When you commence in the morning, he giveth more grace, we read. More grace. Ye know the grace. Ye know these things. Ah, yes. But I want to know more. The Apostle Paul was favoured, and he knew many things, but he desired to know more, didn't he? Well, I might know him, yes, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace sufficient, my grace. And what a strength that has been to the Church of God down through the years. And what a strength that is to you and to me. If we have an interest in these things, my grace sufficient. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, the riches of grace, the riches of grace, the abundant riches that flow forth from himself. And he's not impoverished, is he? They flow continually, and he's not impoverished. Think men, if they give of their possessions, if they keep on giving, then they become impoverished, don't they? But the Lord Jesus gives and continues to give. And so, you see, this is a sweet encouragement, isn't it, to draw near unto the throne of grace and say, Lord, do bless me, do enrich me. Oh, that my heart may be enriched by thy grace. Oh, that I might be helped, Lord, as I continue, as spared, go forth into the another year. He doesn't change, does he? Thou remainest, we read, thou remainest. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. And this is a great mercy. A great mercy. He set his love upon his people and continues to love them and will love them unto the end. May the Lord bless these few thoughts. Pardon that which is pure, I see amiss. Amen.